up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too, brother.
Next, we've got Pete. Pete, glad to have you with us.
Hey, everybody. Feeling a little bit Twitter-pated today, but not too bad.
Okay, you guys can already get a feel for what this show is going to be like today. Okay, and last but certainly not least, we got Steve. Steve, how are you, beside the fact that you're muted?
I'm hanging in there. Hope everyone's doing well.
As a teacher, sometimes that's about all you can ask for, especially in the spring. When kids, I mean, Twitter-pated is not severe enough to talk about junior high and high school kids in spring. Just not good. Guys, if you're not already, please like, subscribe, share. That way you'll never miss any of the episodes we got coming up. We got a couple fairly big ones coming up. So tonight, with spring coming up, spring brings us this thoughts of nature and good times. And so we are looking at 1941's Bambi. And it was the fifth full-length feature that Disney put out. Was actually his favorite of his.
This was the fifth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Which ones came before it?
Snow White, Fantasia, Dumbo, Pinocchio.
Wow.
Yeah, this was number five. Was actually delayed a couple years because Disney was so hung up on making the animals look real that it took them two extra years to get all the animation correct. Was based on a book. I would say based on a book and the fact that both of them have Bambi in them. Just because, guys, the book is not a children's book at all. It's like there's like murders, like among people killing people. And like, yeah, it's not a kid's book at all.
I mean, I would argue that this is not a kid's movie, but we'll get there.
Well, yeah, we'll get there. So, Pete, I'm going to start off with you on this one. What of this was worthy of a young prince? What worked on this movie?
So I've mentioned this many times before, but my daughter is in college for animation. She's home for spring break, and we just watched this movie together and talked about the animation, this movie. And, you know, she, as a 21-year-old, but as an animation student, was basically like, this movie is an out and out classic. And it is a classic because of the quality of animation, the things they did from an animation standpoint. Like, this is like, they do this movie in the history of animation and look at it from a standpoint of how it was made and what they did using watercolors for backgrounds and all the different layers using the multiplane camera, all these different things. And it's from that point of view, it still is a very impressive looking movie. That's what I'm going to say good about this movie.
Okay.
So I'll leave you guys to talk about other things.
I think the part I liked is when watching my husband goes, this is like Fantasia. And once he said that, that was early on, of how the music really ties up with the animation. Some scenes nicely synced overall. That's what I really enjoyed when I started looking at that part of he said, it's like, it's a full length sort of Fantasia movie with the music matching the animation pretty well throughout the movie. So I really enjoyed that. It's classic scenes. I remember I saw it in the theater when it was re-released when I was like 5 years old. So I remember seeing it in the theater.
You and me both, Steve. It was probably the, probably the same release.
I could talk more about that later of how I looked at the movie as that, but that was my highlight. It's just the music, not the singing, the orchestra and the playing.
And the reason it wasn't the singing is there was only one singing song in this, and it was not done by any of the characters. April Shower is the only song that's truly sung during the show.
There's like a
love to me. Love is a song. Kinda.
They romantic. Sing parts of it. Yeah.
And you feel the love tonight scene.
Yeah.
To me, this movie, the good things about this are all about the physical comedy and Thumper. I mean, Thumper is the highlight of this movie. The quotable lines from him, I still use. And trust me, I will use one of those coming up here very shortly. But the physical comedy, that ice skating scene is iconic. Him teaching Bambi how to walk is just, it's funny that because it's this little kid with this really high-pitched voice, and you can tell he's a young kid who wasted it, teaching this other character that doesn't really talk much, or as a baby says what, like two or three words, teaching it to walk. Just the physical comedy is what are the scenes I truly remember. And the Thumper scenes are the scenes I truly remember. We mentioned that the Twitter pated scene is hilarious. It's funny. I wouldn't go hilarious. It's funny. But to me, that's what makes this movie memorable for me, is the physical comedy and the Thumper and Bambi interactions. Kate?
You two, or all three of you, pretty much took everything I was going to say. The animation side of it, it really is breathtaking. The way, like Pete nailed it, the way that they do the watercolors, the way that they, it doesn't surprise me that they took an extra 2 years to get the animals right, because Bambi is breathtaking. Just it's so beautiful. Even, and I didn't like this scene, but even the scene with the fire, the way that the fire like trickles, it's beautiful.
Nobody does fire or water like Disney.
Yeah. So, and then the you other two totally, Thumper saves this movie. Thumper, and I actually really like Flower as well. And even like one of my favorite parts is when I think, are they moles that are hanging upside down?
No, possums.
Possums. And Bambi, like, I love that part. But yeah, Thumper is just, when Thumper is like, and I'm not gonna be able to say the right words, but when Thumper's like, what did your father tell you? And Thumper says something like, about what? Or something, just like something so, I can't remember the exact words, but it's something
it's about what?
About what? About like,
the earrings, oh, that one.
That one. Like, just I can see my 5-year-old niece saying those exact words. Like, what did your father tell you? About what? Like, so, and that made me laugh out loud. I also thought that the mute, that kind of like in a Fantasia way, in a Dumbo way, the way that the music accentuates the movement of the animals, I thought was good. So that's what I have to say about that.
Okay.
Can I make one more comment?
Yeah.
There's almost not a better way to traumatize your child if you want to like have that kind of entertainment.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's fair.
I mean,
without this, like showing them, like, you know,
this and the beginning of Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
Are probably the two biggest. So those are the two where the parent really dies off screen, but on, you know exactly what happened to the parent. Right. So now as Thumper's father told him, if you can't say nice, don't say nothing at all. Well, if that was the case, we would be done with this movie. So we want a longer show than that, and that's never been our gig. So, Steve, I'm going to start with you. What about this did not leave you Twitter-pated with Bambi?
First thing is, I look at the beginning where it's this very lush animation, and then you get into the some of the scenes. I feel like sometimes the animation didn't quite match. It went to very lush to very, I'm going to call it more Disney-esque. When I started looking at it more, there's not really much of a plot, but I go back and forth. For me, I go back and forth on that one. What they were attempting of showing, you know, this deer growing up in sort of just life moments and stuff, but there's no plot. It's just little things going through. I mean, that's the biggest thing, is there's no plot. I know that going in that the mother was going to die, and I was on edge the entire time because I could not remember when it happened. I had no idea. And I was like, is it now? And it happened much longer into the movie than I realized. So I think that sort of, Kate, have you seen this before?
Yeah.
But that's, I'm trying to think. I know as a kid, I know what was going to happen. And I don't remember probably my reaction, but I was on edge the entire time. Cause like, there's a couple times like, oh, the hunter's coming. It's going to happen now.
Nope. Yeah, they take you out. They take you out because they play the gunshot. And then the mom's like, it's okay, Bambi. You can come out now. And it's not like, I was like. Yeah.
But did you hear the difference on that? The ones that miss ricochet, you hear the ricochet. The ones that don't.
No, hurt. No, I didn't realize because, why would I notice that?
I go back and forth. And they're like, no, I read like there's less than 90 words of dialogue or something
It's less than 1,000.
Less than 1,000? Okay, that's about 900 words.
Less than 1,000 words said.
Maybe it's only 90 different words. Maybe that's what
that's very possible.
No plot. And then the singing at the beginning is did not like at all.
But that's the old Disney style. Every Disney movie had a song.
The High Soprano.
Had a song at the beginning. And it's just, at least through Robin Hood. And all of those had that opening song. Because it used to be, in order to get counted for the Academy Awards, it had to be a song either over the introduction credits or the end credits. Those are the songs that would count. So that's why Disney put all their songs, always had a song over the opening credits, is so it could qualify for the Academy Award for Best Song.
Oh, that's smart.
The more you know.
That's smart. But those are my biggest two things.
Okay. I would definitely agree with you. The fact that if I talked about how great the humor was, when there was no humor, this was a boring and terrible movie. It was boring. The plot, all of a sudden, the other bad guy, Stag, jumps in to take Feline away. And it's just, and the dogs. I'm just going, seriously? You have what AF, the American Film Institute, talked about as the number 9 villain of all time already, which is Man. The only one in their top 100 that does not actually appear on screen. But
wait, I'm sorry. Go back and say that one more time.
Okay. The American Film Institute said Man from this movie is their number nine or number 10 villain of all time. And he's the only one in the top 100 that never appears on screen.
Wow.
But that was intentional by Disney.
Yeah.
To choose not to ever show the man.
There were actually scenes in the book like where Bambi and his father come upon a dead body, and they come to realize that Man is not invincible and is not there's yeah, it's in the book. And they had originally wanted to do it, and they decided, yeah, no, we can't do that. So
yeah. I was reading about like what they did and didn't put in the movie. And one of the things they were thinking of putting was that Man was going to be killed by their own fire, and then they were going to show the charred body.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that was probably a good choice. Not
to you don't get that till Star Wars. So,
yeah.
But this movie was just boring, and the lack of dialogue can only go so far if you're not that interested in all the great music. You said it was like Fantasia. The music was nowhere as good, near as good as Fantasia, because in Fantasia, you know what you're getting, and the music carries the scenes. It's only so many times I can go see deer wandering through forests and jumping over logs. Yeah. Kate?
So I echo what both of you said. Thumper really was one of the only like redeeming things of this movie. It really didn't have a storyline. And then like all of a sudden, like Bambi, you've got these great moments of Bambi learning to walk and Bambi learning to say bird and all this stuff. And then you have this really scary, what I would have, and I remember this freaking me out as a kid, moment with the owl where he's like, and like I just like I watched it and I almost was like my little child inside of me was like, and I believe that is when I texted our group chat and I was like, there is a 0% chance that I liked this movie as a child. Because the only parts that I actively remember were the parts with Thumper and Flower. And the parts when he was like, you have to eat the bud of the flower, not the green parts. Because I remember going out and being out in my backyard and being like, if I was a rabbit, I would just eat the bud of this flower. Anyway, I digress. But, oh my gosh, the parts with the hunters and the parts with the fire. And then you add the owl into it, who isn't like an Archimedes owl that like you fall in love with. It's like an owl that is a curmudgeon and is also terrifying. I don't see how this was a kid's movie. Derek, you can say something.
Well, I was going to say, with you talking about all the different animal animations and the owl and such, I know Pete and Steve are going to know this one. I'm going to ask you, put you on the spot. What animated short were a lot of these animals practiced in and some of the exact footage used from? Including the use of the multiplane camera and like the owl specifically.
So it would have been from around the 40s?
Yes, 1939 or 19. I think it's 1940.
Was it a Mickey Mouse one?
No.
Was it a Silly Symphony? Silly
Symphony, yeah.
Silly Symphony.
Listen, that was a lucky guess because that's the only name of the shorts that I know from that time.
The Old Mill.
The Old Mill. No idea. They did a lot of...
I don't know how this is a kid's movie other than the fact that it's animals. This is not a happy movie. It's quite traumatizing with the guns and the hunters and like, and I have shot guns before, like I've never been hunting, but to each their own. I just don't know how this, I am surprised that this movie is still as popular as it is with the characters that they are. Like, because Bambi, you still see Bambi merchandise everywhere in the parks. Thumper comes out during Easter. Like, there, you have lots of Bambi stuff out and about. But yeah, this movie just like wasn't it for me. Go ahead.
I would say there's not a movie that's much less represented in the parks than Bambi, though.
Rescuers.
God, I love the Rescuers.
Well, and Black Cauldron. So there's a few, but for the classic level of this movie, it is not represented very much in the parks, other than you say Thumper and his girlfriend come out sometimes. There's some Bambi stuff in Wilderness Lodge, some paintings and things like that in the rooms. You're talking about the traumatic things, like watching it now, it was almost worse. That little quail that was like, I'm going to fly. Yeah. And I'm like, don't fly.
Yes.
I was like, oh my gosh. Like you knew she was going to get it.
Awful.
But, awful. Yeah, Derek hit it on the head. It's boring. This movie is very, very boring and it's short. and it's still boring.
It's 70 minutes and it's still boring.
Yeah, it's such a, as I said, such a dichotomy to me as such an impressive made movie, but such a, quite honestly, not very good movie. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, you talking about, it's, if you look at AFI, I think it was 2000, it wasn't that long ago, 2008, I think it was, they listed the top animated movies of all time, and Bambi was number three.
Oh,
number
that's right.
Three. And like, I could probably name 100 movies that I like better than this one. Again, if you base it purely on the visuals, maybe, but, you know, if you're doing that, it beat Fantasia, which I would put Fantasia above this for visuals. Yeah, it's not like there's a couple individual scenes that are good or parts of scenes that are good. As you said, mentioned the ice skating scene, the scene when Bambi's learning to speak. But there's just a lot of boring stuff throughout the whole movie. And then the stuff at the end is kind of traumatic. And like, even like the idea that like it's these kids and then all of a sudden flip, they're adults. But we don't really get to see them interact as adults because basically it's like one scene with Thumper and Flower where they meet a girl and then they're gone. So,
yeah,
there doesn't
when you see they've had kids.
Well, OK, yeah, but I'm just saying it's like it very much is, I don't know, it just doesn't really work as a story. And I have no idea how to rate this movie.
Well, luckily you're going to have a little bit of extra time because we've got one more topic before I'm going to require you to rate this movie. Okay, as we do with some of these where they're iconic characters, and as we go forward, it's the famous which character are you question. Okay, now, and as I've liked to do recently, we're going to guess who we think they are, and then they're going to say.
Yeah, but here's what's hard is I think we're all going to say the same thing.
I bet not.
I don't know. Okay, who do you think I am?
Okay, Pete, I'll let you start on Kate.
I'm terrible at these things. I guess I would most liken her to Thumper.
Just I agree.
Thumper. Being very outgoing and like, you know, super super gregarious and everything like that, and then that's the only thing I could picture. Steve, you say the same?
Yeah, I agree.
See, for me, I can see Flower just because there's sometimes like if it's not that big of a deal, she'll just kind of go along with it. And it's one of those, yeah, your name's not Flat. We never find out what his name truly is, so it's one of those where, but. So I'm thinking maybe Flower on this one. Very kind, very, you know, gets, you know, doesn't cause too much of a fuss. So, and Kate, you are?
Thumper was obviously my first thought, but I think we all were going to say Thumper. So I was trying to think of anything that wasn't Thumper. Well, and this is kind of where it's sad, is there's like not a lot of other options.
Not for you.
I mean, I could see myself being the quail who's like, he's getting close. We have to go. Don't go. We have to go. But like, that's just because I have anxiety. So, but yeah, Thumper was my first go. All right, Pete's turn.
Steve?
For Pete, the owl. Whatever his name is. Yeah, I'd say the owl.
I can kind of see that. I can kind of see it as the smart alecky comments, but yet doesn't want to deal with a lot of nonsense and has the big eyes with the glasses.
Wait, let me do it.
No, I was going to put Pete as Thumper. The times that I have gotten to hang out with Pete, he's always like ready to go and is excited. And he always has a positive. And from what I've seen him, he's always
that's just me at Disney though.
had a positive. Well, that's fine. I don't care. And my wedding. Thank you so much. Well, but so no, for me, I thought he was somber.
Thank you for the open bar.
So I was going to say Thumper because I think someone else is the owl. So
Pete.
Yeah. I was thinking the owl because, you know, he's a little bit of a joker, but he also doesn't really like, he's a bit of a cranky old guy, which I can be for sure. So, but I was also thinking Derek could be the owl too. So,
okay.
All right.
Steve, I'm going to go flower on Steve. I'm going to go just kind of the nice, the, at least the Steve we see on here.
What about teacher Steve? Teacher Steve might be different.
Okay. You can't count, you know, teacher Steve and teacher Derek and teacher Gina are totally different than we show the rest of the world.
Okay.
So I was going to go flower for Steve. I don't know, Kate.
I was also going to go flower for Steve. I have just always, even when I've been with him in person, he just has a very warm, welcoming heart about him. Nick is are the same way. I think he can get sassy and I love that about him, but I was going to say flower.
Yeah, I was thinking because of like the calm, steady demeanor that, you know, I think of Steve, while the rest of us can get kind of silly here, Steve is more like the center of the group. And, you know, he's not one for, you know, wildness or crazy talk or anything like that. And that's what I think of when I think of Flower, is just like a steady presence in the group there, even though he's barely in the movie, though. But I think that's what I think. What about you, Steve? What's your thought on you?
I was torn between Flower and BNB because I tend to be the quiet person who sits back and takes things in until you get to know me. And then BNB gets the growth of BNB because I look like 5 years ago, I would not be doing a podcast. That would be out of my comfort zone. So I think it's just that growth. So. That's what
I was thinking Bambi too, but like, I guess the side that we see of you on the podcast, that's more gregarious.
Yes.
That's why I didn't think Bambi, but yeah.
Okay.
Kate, let me have it. Who am I?
You're the owl. 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 And he's like, everybody stop singing. And then he's like, ah, and then they start singing and he goes,
what do you mean, like making people stop singing like this? So
so owl, 100% the owl.
Pete.
Yeah, even though it's funny, Dave and Eric and I Derek and I disagree a lot, but I think like personality wise, I think we're kind of similar. So, I picture him as the owl too. He's certainly not Bambi.
I see more as Thumper because Thumper has this, attitude of, I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm going to say this anyway. But I could see him also as an owl.
Yeah,
I could see him also being a Thumper.
I almost said or Thumper right before you said it. So yeah,
I'm creepy. Well, because sort of that when they're eating the thistle or whatever of whatever makes the comment about the green parts.
Eating greens is a special treat. It makes long ears and great big feet. But it sure is awful stuff to eat.
See, and I feel like Derek's going to show up right now and not be Thumper or the owl because he's going to pull an owl, which is totally something the owl would have done and say something that none of us are expecting.
But see, I think Thumper also would do that. Thumper is that sort of the smart alecky kid in school who will say what you want and then turn to the side and make some sort of sarcastic comment.
Go ahead, Derek.
I think I got one for him. Derek is man because he wants to shoot every movie we watch.
No, just the ones that deserve it. Just the ones that are in season. I see myself as the owl, the one departing wisdom, but yet it's one of those shut up, especially when I'm in the classroom. Sometimes, honestly, it's just one of those, would you stop talking now? Now,
it's like, I know you.
I have become more and more like Thumper as can you imagine me in an in-service, Steve? As I think it was, Margaret Thatcher that supposedly said, if you can't say something nice, sit next to me. Because I'm very much that make the snide comments, and sometimes it drives my wife nuts. But you got to have fun. So, and this movie,
I get in trouble with that with my wife too. So,
yeah, that's fair. So,
I think you and I, Derek, are kind of similar personalities, even though we're often opposite on this show.
Yeah, I would agree. So, okay, Kate, Pixie Dust ratings out of 5, and it's just a rating for Bambi.
This is hard because it's such a classic. It doesn't mean it's a good classic, but it is a classic. And Pete is right that it does have such good animation. And because the animation is so good, I'm going to give it a 2.
Yeah, I have to rate it on the movie. Like, something, a movie can look beautiful and be stunning and everything like that, and you still don't like it. And that's the problem with this movie. And I'm also going to give it a 2 with the caveat that I would say it's a movie that people that are fans of animation should see at least once if you've never seen it. And torture your kid with it when they're about 6.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually going 2.5, but for really the same reasons of, I really liked just looking at the animation and where it came from, but the story is what brought it down. So 2.5.
And I'm going to go 1.5, to be perfectly honest.
I knew it.
Because without the humor, and the humor is just, the humor is not enough to pull it up at all. Because I only ever want to watch those scenes again. I never want to watch this whole movie again. So, and
this was something that, like, you know, at least when I was a kid, we would watch Wonderful World of Disney on Sunday night, and they would show clips from this movie. And so you'd see clips. Right. So you'd see really good clips because you'd see the ice skating scene and whatever. And, you know, when you see a clip from the movie, you go, yeah, this, I like that. There's some really classic scenes in this movie, but no, the movie's not good.
So, and part of the reason I gave it 1.5 on that is I gave Lady and the Tramp a 2, and I would rather watch that again before I'd watch this. But I don't really want to see either one of them again.
Yeah.
So actually I was probably a little high on Lady and the Tramp, but, or drunk on Lady and the Tramp, one of the two. So, Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
Yeah, make sure I'm not muted. I am not. Okay. Disney officially confirmed the Marvel and Star Wars shows coming to the service this year. We have X-Men 97 will debut March 20th. This is a spinoff of the animated series from the 1990s.
Either of you guys ever watch it when it was... You did? Okay.
I did, but I still probably won't watch it.
That's fair.
I like that you didn't include me in that, even though I was very much alive in the 90s. Thank you, sir.
Whoa.
I didn't watch it, but...
You didn't. I was like, it's not but Muppet still, movies doing like that, so...
Because my birthday is tomorrow, so it's fine.
Or technically...
Anyway.
Actually, it was kind of, technically, it's yesterday.
Technically, when people are listening to this, it will be yesterday. That is true.
It's your birthday? I don't know that. Happy birthday. Yeah,
tomorrow.
Yes, happy birthday.
So Star Wars, The Acolyte, as of now, will premiere June 5th. It's a prequel to all of the Star Wars so far, over a century before Episode 1.
Which hopefully means you don't have to have, other than knowing what the light side and dark side of the Force, other than that, hopefully you won't need, and the Jedi and the Sith, hopefully other than that, you won't need to know anything.
Yeah. Love it.
In theory, we could have Yoda.
Oh, yeah.
because he's 800 years old. So you could have that character. But other than that.
True. And then Agatha Darkhold Diaries will come out this fall. Hasn't this changed names like seven times?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Perfect. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy on that. And finally, Star Wars Skeleton Crew should also come out in 2024, at least according to copyright filings from Disney. And that's it.
Yeah. And again, when is Pete? Have you kept track of when that is supposedly set? Is it Rogue One era type thing?
I believe it's during the era of the Empire.
Okay.
So
between
when the original movies were, I think. Okay. But yeah, I'm not 100%.
That's the Jude Law one. So
it's Jude Law and a bunch of kids. So it's
okay. That sounds wrong on so many levels. But anyway.
Well, it's supposedly inspired by like the Amblin movies of the 80s, where there's like a bunch of kids go on an adventure.
Gotcha. Okay.
Could be good. Could be bad.
Which
really narrows it down, right? Yeah,
that really narrows it down, especially when it comes to Star Wars. It's either really good or really bad.
Yeah.
So, okay. Next week, you have all seen it coming out on. There's Disney has put up trailers for this, advertisements. They got paid $70 million plus for the Taylor Swift's Eras Tour concert. That's what we will be watching next week. Now, I'm going to challenge you guys, though, even if you don't like the Taylor Swift music, still rate it as how you would rate it as a concert film and the production value and things along those lines. Don't rate it on whether or not you like the music. Because if that's the case, I kind of know how I'm going to be rating it already. But I'm going to try and really, especially I'm going to try and give this a fair vote of how is it as a concert film?
So out of curiosity with the group, where is everybody on Taylor Swift? Cause I'm kind of like, I'm unusual in that. Like I'm kind of in the middle on her. I don't really, she doesn't bother me. Like there's some people that really dislike her. And then of course there's lots of people that really love her. And I'm kind of in the middle. Like it's like her music's okay. I don't love it, but it's not really directed at me anyways.
Yeah.
I'm like,
but
yeah. Go ahead, Derek.
I was like, for me, the Taylor Swift stuff I remember is her early country stuff. But I have part of my vote is as a Chiefs fan, I got kind of tired of seeing her on TV every time Travis Kelce caught the football.
That's but I also know that his, her fault.
And that isn't her fault. And she has. And I saw something where she tried to get them to stop showing her. But
you made it into a drinking game at the Super Bowl for herself. Anytime she came on the Jumbotron, she would start to drink. And it was hilarious.
Because you can tell by the end, she wasn't quite sober. Not quite as bad as Jason Kelce. But anyway, so, I mean, I have not heard a lot of her recent stuff. So I'm kind of ambivalent. It's kind of, I don't know because I don't know their music. Yeah. Steve?
I'm with you and Pete. I'm indifferent. I know who she is. I might be able to pick out a song if you played it on the radio. Maybe.
See, I get her early stuff and Carrie Underwood's stuff kind of mixed up. To be perfectly honest.
See, I feel like I would be surprised if I didn't know at least like a dozen of the songs she plays because it's been so omnipresent over the last 10 years. I feel like, as I said, even though I couldn't necessarily sit here and name that many Taylor Swift songs, I'm sure hearing them, I'll be like, yeah, I know that song. Oh, of course.
Yeah, there's one or two of you played it. I'd go, okay, well, I'm going to tell you the lyrics right now.
One of the most funniest things I've seen is on the old TV show Lip Sync Battle was The Rock doing Shake It Off. So
so I am probably a bigger Taylor fan than the three of you. However, I am not a Swiftie. I don't know every single song of hers by heart. I do think that she is a very good songwriter. Some of her lyrics are very, very good. I think that she knows her audience so well that she is very good at leaving breadcrumbs for upcoming albums and stuff like that. She knows her audience so well. I think she's a little bit brilliant when it comes to releasing all of her albums, the Taylor version. That was kind of ingenious. And in my opinion, a little bit groundbreaking for future artists when it comes to things like that. I do travel and DJ Taylor Swift dance parties, so I know quite a few of her songs. Derek, I don't think you're going to like this very much, because I know I didn't really care for the U2 concert that we watched. I'm not a U2 fan, and I'm not a U2 music fan. I don't know their stuff. So I feel like this is going to be much easier for me to watch this, because I do know most of her music, than it will be for the rest of you. I don't feel like this is great. Now, I heard she puts on a hell of a show. But if you don't know the music, I don't know how much you're going to enjoy it.
I think the biggest thing is it being 3.5 hours long, or however long it is.
249.
Oh my God. That's even long for me. So
yeah,
it's almost Marvel long.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like at a certain point, if you're not a fan of the music, you start to maybe tune it out. I am curious though, you know, again, it's the Eras tour, right? So I think she's doing like each of her albums, she's doing like, here's 3 or 4 songs from this album, and now I'm going to go on to this album, and now I'm going to go on to this album. So it's kind of a tour through her history. Am I right in thinking that that's what they do?
And in this version, apparently there's 4 songs that weren't in the original that she does acoustically. That's apparently a big thing.
Well, they weren't in the original movie. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm actually curious to watch it beyond just us saying, let's do it for the show. But I'm not sure I'm going to be able to sit and watch it all in one sitting.
And I think it's okay if you don't. I think if you don't watch the whole thing, that's okay. You will get enough of a taste of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I said, that's next week. Guys, if you have suggestions, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Need some suggestions. We got some open dates coming up in April and May, because again, we're still dealing with that backlog off of the writer's strike and the actor's strike, where there's not much new coming out. So if you have suggestions, message us somehow. We are on YouTube, Facebook, X, Instagram, just about anywhere you can imagine. If we're somewhere where we aren't, let us know. Guys, new episodes every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, Gina in the background, we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
So long.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.